This is Doug Hastings, Vice President of Moody Radio, and we're thankful for support from our listeners and businesses like United Faith Mortgage.
Heading into spring, I've been spending a lot of time pondering, analyzing, and debating something extremely important to men, and even many women, and that's whether a new driver would improve my golf game. I would say I'm somewhere between embarrassing and appalling at golf, but man, do I love it. And all my buddies show up with these epic flash, big maverick Bertha drivers, and I can't help but feel like they've got this massive advantage on me and my persimmons. It's Ryan, and at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're proud to have a pretty special advantage ourselves, and one that can be a big deal for you. Our team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company uses its own money and makes its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. And this advantage often allows us to get you a better rate, saving monthly and lifelong money on a refinance or new home purchase. We're much better at mortgages than I am at golf. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
Today on Bold Steps, Mark Jobe shows us how to get into the zone.
Sometimes we have a feeling that God has turned his back on us. That no matter how we pray, no matter what we do, that God's kind of got his arms crossed and said, no, you blew it, forget about it, you lost your chance. And that's not the way God is. God says, return to me, turn your face towards me again. And he says, and I will return to you.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Mark is senior pastor of New Life Community Church and the president of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Scripture tells us that God is a good father, that he loves to provide for his children, but oftentimes we find ourselves in positions where we won't receive what he wants to give us. And that's why today's message is so important. Mark, we've already talked about two spiritual laws, the law of source and the law of seed. Now you'll be walking us through a third law.
Yeah, Wayne, I'm talking today about the law of center. And this is a very powerful and compelling law because it has to do with putting God at the center. Here's the thing. I can choose to live in or out of that zone, and my position doesn't change the nature of God, but it does change my ability to receive what God wants to provide
for
me.
That's true, yes.
And so we need to be in the center, right in the place where God can flow towards us with all that he has for us.
The text is in the book of Malachi, chapter 3. We invite you to turn with us if you're in a place where you can. The law of center. Here's Mark Jobe.
So there's three laws to get yourself in a place where you can receive what God wants to give you. Number one, the law of source says this, the ultimate source and owner of all that I possess is God. When I act like an owner, I will eventually plug the source and dishonor the owner. The second law we've talked about is the law of seeds. My destiny is directly influenced by the quantity, the timing, and the type of seeds that I am currently sowing. I cannot expect my future to be different if I'm unwilling to alter my present. That's the second law. The law I want to talk to you today about is what I call the law of center. Here it goes, the law of center. The nature of God is to provide, and he delights in giving. I can choose to live in or out of the zone of God's blessing. My position does not change the nature of God, only my ability to receive what he wants to provide. My position does not change God's nature. I may be angry and resentful and not experience God's joy, but it doesn't change the fact that God is full of joy. I may be bitter at someone and I can't experience the love of God in my life, but it doesn't change the fact that God is full of love. Are you tracking with me? Just because I position myself in a place not to receive it, my life does not change God's character. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His character is unchanging. And because I can't experience it does not change the fact that he is the same. Malachi talks about this, by the way. Malachi, the entire four chapters of Malachi, by the way, it's not pronounced Malachi. It's Malachi, and he was a prophet, and he spoke during a time where he was calling Israel, some of the people of Israel, to spiritual renewal. They were experiencing famine in the land and heartache and difficulty in their lives, in part because they had walked away from God and stepped out of his position of blessing. And so he's calling them to return to God. And the entire four chapters of Malachi are a call up to spiritual renewal. Get back in the place where God wants you to be. Renew your heart. Stop living the way you're living. God loves to bless you. He wants to touch your life, but you have to renew your spiritual life. Here are some of the things that they had backslidden in. And by the way, the term to backslide, how many of you are familiar with that term? To backslide is that you've reached a certain place in your spiritual life, and because of the own hardness of your heart, you start sliding back. You climb a mountain. Recently, I went sledding with my kids and actually a few of the youth from the church here, and there's this hill, and so I was climbing up the hill, and I started sliding back, because it was slippery. So I made progress to a certain point, and then I slid back. That's backsliding. You're sliding backwards. Israel had backslidden. And we see, for example, in chapter 2, that one of the things they had compromised in is in their relationships. The men had married women who worshipped other gods. They knew that they were to marry only others that were in line spiritually, in the same page spiritually. But they had entered into a new land, and they had seen the women, and they wanted to intermarry with these women because of their beauty, but they had not looked at the heart of these women, who were women that did not honor God or love God, and so they had intermarried with other people that did not share the same faith and values and love for God. And so therefore their houses now were mixed houses in which they were compromising their faith and not teaching the ways of God. And God was angry because of it. The other thing they had compromised in chapter 2, it tells us that men were divorcing their wives and breaking the covenants in order to marry other women. They were divorcing their wives of their youth. In other words, they weren't holding marriages sacred. They were compromising and saying, well, I want out of this. They weren't holding their covenant values. They were taking marriage to a lower degree. When God wants to bring renewal, he touches our relationships. Listen, your heart with God determines who you date. Hello? How you are doing spiritually will determine the kind of person you choose to date. How you are doing spiritually will affect how you hold marriage and how you look at your marriage covenant and your vows. It's really, really important. And so there was compromise there. There was selfishness there. The third thing that we see in Malachi is that these people were doubting that God would bring justice and had grown up cynical about the benefits of living right. They were looking around and they were saying, hey, what good is it to live for God? We see people around us that are not living for God, and they seem to be prospering. They seem to be doing okay. Their lives seem to be doing all right. And they're pagans and they're following other ways. So maybe God doesn't bring justice. Maybe you can live crazy and it won't affect your life. Maybe God doesn't make you reap what you sow. Maybe I can get away with it, and And why is that person living the way he is and prospering? And so they had become cynical about the things of God. And God is reminding them, listen, I will bring justice ultimately. No one's going to get away with it forever. It will catch up to them. Whatever you sow, you will also reap. And so he's calling them back to himself. He's calling people to be renewed spiritually in their lives. And then we're shocked because in this whole book on renewal and getting right with God, he brings up another area that was causing them not to experience renewal in their lives. And their spiritual compromise and unfaithfulness had also shown up in the way they were managing their money and the way they gave to God and to others. And so I want to talk to you for a second about this because it's huge. I've taught you already that the way you manage your money, the way you save, the way you spend, the way you invest, the way you give is not just a financial matter. It's not just a matter of accounting. It's a spiritual matter. Our money and the way we manage it is a spiritual matter. Just like our marriage and the way we manage it is a spiritual matter. Our children and how we parent them is a spiritual matter. Our body and how we deal with our body is a spiritual matter. Our mind and the thoughts that we think are not a psychology issue. It's a spiritual matter. Every area of our life ultimately is managed by our spirituality. Who we are in God, the values we embrace in God, affects every single area of our life. There is no compartmentalization in God. There's no dichotomy between the spiritual and the material in God. How we are in God, our spiritual life, flows into every area of our life. Are you tracking with me? This is huge. Okay, now, so he's talking to them in Malachi, and we're going to be reading verses 6 through verse 10. Of how their finances really affect their spiritual life. I'm going to give you a couple principles in this that I just want to mention because they're huge and they speak volumes into spiritual renewal. I'm going to begin reading in verse 6. The prophet says, I, the Lord, the prophet is speaking on behalf of God. I, the Lord, do not change. I love that about God. He doesn't change. He's the same in the Old Testament and the New Testament. God doesn't mature with age because he's always been mature. God doesn't improve because he's always been there. God doesn't get more ornery with age. He remains as loving as he's always been. His character is the same. I, the Lord, do not change, he says. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. He says, I don't change, but you have changed. Your behavior has changed, but since I don't change, you're not being destroyed right now because I'm offering grace and mercy to you. God doesn't change, but sometimes we change, and sometimes we change for the worse. How many of you know that? He says, ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees, and you have not kept them. And here's his call. Return to me. Oh, I love this. Oh, boy, if you've been fasting and praying, you want to hear these words. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. I love that. Sometimes we have a feeling that God has turned his back on us, and that no matter how hard we call upon God, he's not going to listen. That no matter how we pray, no matter what we do, that God's kind of got his arms crossed and said, no, you blew it, forget about it, you lost your chance. And that's not the way God is. God says, return to me, turn your face towards me again. And he says, and I will return to you. It's like what he tells us in James, draw nigh unto me and I will draw nigh unto you. God is there, arms stretched out, but he's waiting for us, prompted by his spirit, to initiate our step back towards him. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm so far, I don't even know where to start. Let me tell you where to start. It starts with the first small step. You say, well, it's been so long, I've backslidden so far, I'm just so far away from God. Listen, it doesn't start by taking major leaps and bounds towards God. It starts by turning around, facing God, and saying, one small step, God, I need you. Here it is.
This is Bold Steps. You're listening to Mark Jobe, and we'll dive back into the second half of today's message, The Law of Center, in just a moment. So please keep listening. Did you know that in addition to hearing us on your favorite local radio station, you can catch up with any and all of Mark's messages online 24/7 when you go to boldstepsradio.org. This series is called God Provides, and you can also hear it by downloading the Moody Radio app. These are just two of the ways you can stay connected, so go to our website and explore. Once again, you'll find us at boldstepsradio.org and click on the link titled Ways to Listen. Right now, let's get back into our message. Here's Mark once more.
And then he goes in and he shocks them, basically. He's talked about several topics, but now he talks to them really about how this return affects not only their relationships and their marriage and their compromise and their family, but how it also affects their finances. And this is one of the shocking things about renewal. By the way, I also think that it's pretty shocking about spiritual renewal, that part of spiritual renewal is that he turns the hearts of the fathers back to the children, the children back to the fathers. Spiritual renewal. It talks about that both in the early part of the Gospels, and it also talks about it in one of the prophets where he says, turn to me and I will turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the children back to the fathers. That means renewal has happened. When you get hard spiritually, when you begin to lose your heart with God, then your heart pulls away from your children and your children's heart pulls away from you. Spiritual renewal causes us to turn our hearts back towards our family and our family's heart back towards us. And then he begins to talk to them about their finances. You see, there was an area in their life that they did not realize had affected their spiritual renewal, and it had to do with their finances. And so he says this, return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord God Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? And then the prophet says this, will a man rob God, yet you rob me in tithes and offerings? You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not be able to have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and vines in your fields will not be cast their fruit, says the Lord God Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be the delight of the land, says the Lord God Almighty. Let me give you the first principle under this, the law of seeds. The first principle is this: spiritual renewal can be stopped by financial disobedience because it's a spiritual issue. He says, return to me. And they say, how are we to return to you? And the people were saying, well, how? How should we return to you? And he tells them, you have an issue besides your marriage and besides your dating the wrong kind of women and divorcing in order to marry others and the compromise that you show. You also have an issue of your finances. And he says, will a man rob God? And obviously, people would be shocked if you say, hey, rob God? I mean, just think about how ludicrous it sounds. That a man is actually with a gun holding God up and saying, God, come on. We're shocked, like, no way would you rob God. Have you ever heard of vandals entering in churches and robbing equipment? And when you hear, I don't know if it happens to you, but I say, how low can you get? I mean, really, would you go into a house of worship and steal stuff in a house of worship? I mean, we're sort of aghast at that. Like, I mean, you really have to be desperate. You really have to be in some form of really strong addiction to break into a house of worship and to steal things related to God. I mean, really, how bad does it have to get? Yet, God is speaking to this entire place. He's speaking to his own people, and they did not know it, but God is saying, you have robbed me. The word rob here in the original Hebrew is a strong word that means to take forcibly. It's not petty theft, it's like armed robbery. Like you've forcibly taken that which is mine. And they said, but you ask, how have we robbed you? I mean, they're like, shocked, no, God, we haven't robbed you. You must be thinking of someone else. I mean, we go to the house of God. We love God. We would never rob you. In fact, we give to the things of God. How have we robbed you, they say. Will a man rob God? And you ask, but how have we robbed you? And this is what God says. God says, in tithes and offerings. Now, here's the thing. These people were giving. And you have to understand, unless you understand this principle, you'll never understand I talked about it a few weeks back. I talked about the first fruits principle. Everybody remember the first fruits principle? There are certain things that God says, this is mine, and all of what you have is mine, but I make you a manager of some, and I require other from you, right? Listen, if God is not the center of your heart, you've robbed God because he deserves to be at the center. If a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a job, economics, or anything else is in the place in your life where God should be, then you have robbed God from his rightful position because he deserves to be at the center. Listen, God wants your worship. When you do not worship him and give him the glory that he deserves, the honor that is his, if you don't worship him first in life, then what you have done is you've robbed God of his worship. Because he deserves that. He demand that. That's his. If you are worshiping something else before you worship God, then you have robbed God of what's rightfully his, and that is his worship. God demands from us what's called in the scripture the first fruits. He asks us to give him of the first, and then we manage the rest. These people, what they were doing is they were giving to God, but if you notice here, he says in tithes and offering, the word tithes means 10%, and offerings means just a generous act of giving. He said, you are under the curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me. What God is saying is that I've demanded and asked you to give the first fruits first to God. I've said, give the first of what you have to the house of God, to the things of God, and then you can manage the rest. But what was happening with them is that they were not giving, they were giving God the leftover, the chump change. They were bringing some of it, but not all of it. And they thought that they were doing God a favor, and God is saying, hold on a second. Listen, I consider it robbery when you don't give me what, when you don't give to me the first of all that you have and what I desire of you, the first fruits. Listen, the problem is people were sinning against God with their finances. The first fruit principle, in essence, says this: bring the first to God and then let God take care of the rest, because the first blesses the rest. This is a principle that I started learning when I was in college and then got married. And what I discovered over the years is that it's the formula that I talk to you about. I run into a lot of people that don't really give God the first for a lot of reasons. When you're a poor college student, you say, well, once I have a job and have money, then I will. When you're a young married couple with kids and you say, well, I have kids, we still don't have enough, we're living on a real tight budget, but when I make more money and get the raise, I will. When you're older and your kids are in college, you say, you know, right now I make more money than I did before, but I got big bills in college, and maybe one day when we're empty nesters, I will. When you get close to retirement, you say, well, I got to save for retirement. And if I had enough in retirement, then I really would. And here's what I've discovered. Listen, there's never a convenient time to start tithing and giving God the first fruit, because there's always something that'll say, now is not the right time. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But here's what I decided. I decided years ago, when I was still a college student, that whatever came in, I would tithe to God. So when we got married, I was making $8,000 a year. That was my entire salary. I had no insurance, no benefit, no parsonage, no car. But I determined I'm going to tithe out of the money that I have. And God, it is super tight. But Lord, I will give to you. Why? Because I want whatever the rest that I have, I want it to be blessed by you. And I remember testing God and saying, God, you know what? Whew. I barely have enough to pay for the bills. But you know what? I'm going to jump out and test. And God, you have to provide. And God, you have to open the doors. And over the years, miracle by miracle, hand by hand, door by door, God would open the doors at the right time.
Learning to give and go to God first. That's the takeaway from this Friday edition of Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. As I mentioned earlier, there are a variety of ways you can listen to this daily program, but we also have a number of resources and tools that are designed to help you on this walk of faith. Right now, we're offering a book from David Platt that will show you what it really means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's about more than just knowing a few scriptures and attending church each Sunday. It's about learning to follow God with all your heart, soul, and strength. The book is titled Follow Me, and we'd love to send you a copy for your gift of any amount to support the ministry of Bold Steps. Just go to boldstepsradio.org or send your donation and request for the book in the mail. Address your envelope to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. You can also give and request your copy of Follow Me by calling 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. That's all the time we have today. I'm Wayne Shepherd. On behalf of Mark Jobe and the team at Bold Steps, have a wonderful weekend. And be sure to join us again Monday when Mark continues this message on the Law of Center. We'll discover why the first blesses the rest. That's Monday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.